Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the SS Podcast. I'm Asani Fisher, and I'm joined by RotoWorld's Michael Gallagher. Thanks so much for being here, Mike. How's it going?
Awesome, man. Getting ready for some playoff action. It's a season-long fantasy, so I'm excited for that. I'm in a 30-man industry league. I'm in the final for that. Going for a back-to-back, actually. I won it last year. So that's exciting stuff. We got a couple other fantasy leagues. I'm still season-long. I love a lot of season-long stuff. What about you? You in any season-long leagues?
I could not be less familiar with season-long. I literally have played one time ever. I did a like the startup of a dynasty draft, and I drew the number one overall pick. And this is, God, this is so embarrassing. I took Sean Marion instead of LeBron James because I did nothing. And I just, I kept reading all these articles. It was like, Sean Marion isn't that good of an NBA player, but he's amazing at fantasy.
He is, though. He was. He was the number one player for like a 5-6 year stretch.
But yeah, but I took him right as that was winding down, and right before LeBron James went on to become the best player in the history of the world. So yeah.
Well, no, Marion, and I thing for Sean Marion that I've always talked about, like, he's like the fastest jumper. Like, I feel like he goes from floor to rim like faster than anyone. And like, I always compare that for guys when I see how they're playing, like how fast they can elevate. Like, I always think of Sean Marion when I see a guy just, like, go up and jam on somebody really fast. Like, that was his thing.
Yeah, you're one of the first people I've heard bring that up. I wonder if that's something they can, like, test at the NBA Combine. Because it does seem like a very important skill set.
Yeah, well, I think they do, like, a lot of the cone drills and just acceleration and stuff. So that's a good way to clock it. But, yeah, sometimes you can't really measure it. That'd be something. And I'm sure, like, scouts can tell, like, how long it takes for a guy to load, you know, when he's going up for vertical or something. Like, just Marion doesn't have, like, any load time. He was just, like, running up in the air. You know, a lot of guys have to crouch down and come up. But, yeah, that was Marion's game, man. He was the man for fantasy. He had one of the ugliest shots. Him and Kevin Martin are two guys who can't shoot the ball as far as aesthetically pleasing goes. But they made him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So how's it for all the season-long leagues out there? Is it like playoff time right now?
Yeah, I'm in the championship. We do for the 30-man. It's best 2 of 3 weeks. I won the first week. Pretty sure I'm going to win this week. He has Gordon Hayward, missed the game, and he has Reggie Jackson, so I should roll. But yeah, it's pretty much semifinals or finals or over. A lot of leagues ended last week, which is probably the smart thing to do. And actually, quickly, Kelly Olynyk, he got asked by TMZ about like being like a fantasy player and something. He's like, oh yeah, you need to go to the end of the season. You know, you have to deal with that with the resting. Like, that's what real general fantasy managers do, which I thought was really funny. Because a lot of people now are like, dude, I'm ending my season at like March something, like March 15th. Because it's so, and we've seen this in DFS as well, like the rest is so, and even DraftKings today, they changed their DFS slate where they didn't put the late games on there because people are just scared of rest, I would assume, which I don't like. What do you feel? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, what do I think about DraftKings specifically?
Well, with the change that they made today with not putting those late games on the main slate.
I want to play the slate first and then I'll have more feedback afterwards. But I think I like it conceptually. I like that they're trying stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't play a lot of season-long NBA, but I've done it in NFL. And I agree, it sucks when, you know, the championship rounds are decided based upon, you know, some scrub off the bench, you know, late season pickup or something.
Yeah, Jordan, I think I went one season that was the whole year, and, like, Jordan McRae went off. Like, every year there's multiple people. Like, Seth Curry also for the last 2 weeks of the season last year, he was amazing. And, like, Tyler Ulis had Tyler Ulis been making shots, he would have been another guy who I was on Tyler Ulis for a while, but I didn't think he was going to be this much. Like, I thought we'd see getting Bledsoe shut down, like, now. Not, right, like, 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, it's just crazy how many teams are just shutting down right now, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to bring up before the main topic of today's show, we wanted to talk about, in the last 2 weeks, I've had Dean on, talked about the NBA draft, had Aaron Jones on, talked about the MVP race and the playoff teams. I wanted to jump into all the crappy teams that are tanking with you. I know you're a bit of a Nets fan, so that might be your area specialty. But before jumping into that, I wanted to actually ask you about your Twitter. Last time I had you on, I didn't realize that you are one of the great NBA tweeters out there. For those who don't know, your account is at Mike S. Gallagher, and you basically just live tweet in real time as the night's going on. What exactly are you doing as you're doing that?
Yeah, well, I retweet pretty much all the beat writers and stuff that I can. So if you play DFS, you know, you just kind of get it right when it comes out, and you can kind of see it without the exact wording. Like sometimes when, like even at RotoWorld, we'll kind of tweak the word. I like to have, and I try to pride myself on that, to where, like, if it's what the guy says, like, make sure you say verbatim what he's saying. Like, that we've seen the "we'll try to play" or, like, you know, those terms about how often they're going to play and how much they're going to play limitations. So I like that. But yeah, I'm probably known for the video stuff that I do, because I have, my office is pretty crazy. I watch a game on my MacBook, and then I have a 60-inch TV, a 55-inch TV, and another 55-inch TV kind of set up as like a triangle all mounted on my wall. And yeah, I just watch games, and if I see something, I'll just do it. I try to do it with like video editing, and it just takes too damn long. Like obviously the quality's not quite as good, but I'm fine. I just take it off my phone and post it super fast, because I'm doing work on RotoWorld too. So for me to invest, you know, 2-3 minutes rather than just 10 seconds, it's a lot. But yeah, people do tend to appreciate that. And I got asked this before. I don't know, man. I just like to help everyone out. Like, it's tough to watch so many games on at the same time, and you can't catch everything. So I kind of just like to make sure you see all the cool highlights out there. And I tend to focus on the non-national games too, like, because everyone will watch the Cavs, the Spurs, Warriors. But there's all the great plays come from, and I haven't even talked about this before, like, there's some bad teams that are fun, man. I mean, like, Karis LeVert's one of my favorite guys to post videos of. The Sixers, Dario. I mean, there's just so many. There's a lot to like about every team, pretty much except for the Magic. You can find something fun. I mean, Yogi Ferrell, he's going off. And obviously Denver. I think Denver has kind of been mainstream now. Everyone knows how fun the Nuggets are. But, you know, about 4 months ago, people didn't realize how fun the Nuggets are to watch. So that's kind of... I don't know what it's all about, man. Just having fun on the internet.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That's, I will tune in to, you know, the big nationally televised games, and I'll keep my Twitter open, and you will keep me filled in on all these crack of teams playing each other and what exactly happens. But I love it. I love that aspect of it. But so you're literally just sitting there watching TV, and you're taking it on your phone. I didn't realize it was that basic. You're just taking it on your phone at the television.
Yep. It's easy. I could do it. I can make GIFs. But it's, like, to make a GIF off of stuff, it takes me, like, to upload and everything. Seriously, it takes me, like, 5 minutes. So it's not worth it. But, yeah.
Does it feel like work to you, or are you just having a blast about, like, sitting there watching?
No, I do it. I don't know. It's part of what I do. I got my sister, because I have to keep track of all the news feeds and stuff for RotoWorld. I'm the player news guy for pretty much 4 nights a week. So I keep track of all that, and I watch the games, and yeah, I don't know, I just got my system down, and yeah, I just sit in front of my desk and hop up and video it, hit rewind. I could rewind it in like 2 seconds and know exactly how fast to post it. I mean, I like to think I'm the fastest video guy in the West. I get them up there pretty fast, but yeah, it's cool, man. I don't know, it helps grow my brand too. Get a lot of, like, sometimes I get like retweeted like thousands of times, which is crazy. Not that I'm like obsessed with that, but yeah, it's cool.
Man. Keep it up. I think that's great work. Let's jump into it. I guess I wanted to start off by asking you two kind of conceptual questions. As we wind down to this part of the season, you're seeing a lot of teams start to tank. And part one, I guess, is what do you think about the draft lotto system? Would you make any changes? And part two of the question, in light of the system we currently have, what would your approach be if you are one of these crappy teams coming down the stretch? Do you think you should start tanking, or do you think, you know, developing chemistry for later years is kind of an important thing?
I'm fine with the lottery. I know a lot of people get upset because, as you said, some teams have taken it to new extremes. We talked about Phoenix for a second. I'm fine. I mean, you need to have a good player. It's not like football. It's not like in football, you need to be able to draft really well multiple times. But in basketball, you need to have you need to hit. Just the way it is. Like, and especially now where it's very much have-nots for teams with the super teams and just teams that want to go to Golden State, teams that want to go play with LeBron. You know, we even see it with, like, Deron Williams and Bogut, who they're not making an impact, but they were, you know, the best two guys, two of the best guys in the buyout market, and they went to Cleveland because they want to win. So, I mean, these teams have to do something to get talent. So, yeah, the Suns are taking it to an extreme. They've lost eight straight. They've caught up some ground on the Lakers, too, by the way. The Lakers look like they had that pick locked up, that second spot in the lottery. But, and yeah, I don't get it. Like, I'm fine with the lottery, man. Like, if I don't see why people are so up in arms about it. Like, yeah, it stinks, but, and for me, I like when teams do that. And I'm sure you do too. Like, this part of the season, we like new stuff. We've already seen these guys. Like, I like seeing Sean Long play big minutes. I like seeing Tyler Ulis play big minutes. I like seeing Derek Jones get big minutes. Like, this is new shiny stuff for us to watch. And I think the hardcore fans appreciate that. While people who are like, oh, who's this scrub? You know, they may not. But I enjoy it. Like I said, it's more new stuff to study and learn from. So I love it. And then as far as, like, team chemistry, it really depends. Like, Orlando, for instance, they probably had the worst offseason, right? The Biombo thing was terrible. The Surge, they basically, you know, realized they screwed up and flipped him at a discount. Because they knew that this whole go double big, triple big lineup was a bad call. So they do need that time to develop and play small again, just because they didn't have all season to do it. So I get that. And it's actually going to cost them some lottery picks, too. It looks like they're sliding a little bit. Looked like they had four locked up, even three. They were pretty close to the Suns. But, yeah, they're going to be at least fourth or later. Like, it's crazy. If you look at the – you go on Tankathon at all?
No, I've never seen that.
I love Tankathon. It does, like, lottery sims and stuff, and it gives you just, like, inverse standings from top to bottom. It's beautiful. You can, like, sim it, and it'll show you where the picks go. I'm a big Tankathon fan, tankathon.com. But, yeah, it'll show you how far behind the Magic are. Like, they're losing. It'll show their losing streaks in green, the winning streaks in red. So it's, like, a total reverse thing if you want to go on there really fast. But, yeah, you can see that the Magic are only a half game behind the Sixers for 5, one game behind the Knicks for 6. So they're, if I'm them, I tank, dude. I mean, they need help hard. So I'm fully a fan of tank, worry about chemistry in the offseason, man. This time of year. Like, hardcore, I would tank. I would do what the Suns are doing and that stuff.
Yeah, I don't have any system better than the draft lotto, so I think it's fine for what it is. It does suck, however. I saw someone tweet this. There's a chance it was actually you. I can't remember who. But there was a really good game between, I think, like, the Lakers and another tanking team that went down to the wire, and a lot of the young players really played well. And someone tweeted out, I think it was like Lakers Suns or something like that.
Yeah.
And someone tweeted out, this has been a really enjoyable game. It sucks that the winning team is just going to hear about how they botched it to the lottery. Instead of hearing, oh, great, great effort.
No. Yeah. That I agree with.
Yeah, that aspect of things really bothers me. But otherwise, like I said, I don't have much of improved, you know, suggestions for anything.
It was probably the Lakers-Sixers game, a two-point game that Clarkson had 30.
Yeah, that must have been it. Yeah.
Because and the Lakers, man, like you said, these guys are NBA players. They don't want to lose. But, you know, they're getting put in a position where they're, you know, supposed to lose pretty much. And if they win, great. But, you know, it's not like teams are going blue chips mode. I can't remember the name of the character. He was, like, tanking on purpose. Just, like, blowing plays, shaving points and stuff. Sorry if I, like, spoiler alert. If you haven't seen, have you seen Blue Chips? Please tell me.
There's the Shaq and the characters.
Yeah.
One of them or the other guy? There's a third guy who's not a famous.
Well, they have a bunch of guys. Bobby Hurley, they have a lot of, like, the players on the other teams playing. Like, Bobby Hurley was there, Calvert Chaney was there, like, as an opponent. Like, and by the way, White Man Can't Jump came out 25 years ago. God damn, I'm old, man.
Real quick, can I get, like, a top three basketball movies of all time list?
Oh, White Man Can't Jump's number one. It's my favorite sports movie ever. I don't know what I like after that. I'm not a Space Jam guy, man.
You know what I'm embarrassed to admit I've never seen is Hoop Dreams.
Hoop Dreams is okay. It's not. I'm actually not a big sports movie guy. Like, I don't even know what I would. I mean, obviously I watch them, but I don't really like. I don't know. I tend not to enjoy them as much. I just like regular games more.
I'll be honest. I was expecting oh my god, you haven't seen Hoop Dreams reaction there, and you're just like, Hoop Dreams is okay. I don't really care.
Like, only thing I was to be like, if you haven't seen is White Man Can't Jump. Like, that's probably one of my top five favorite movies of all time, man. Like, I'm all about the comedy, man. Going, yeah, exactly. I can't drive by a Sizzler and not giggle. It's to that point, you know. But yeah, I can't even think of what else to be second and third. But do you think that the Magic are playing this right with kind of developing chemistry? Because they've been kind of competitive. Well, not last night they weren't, but they got housed by the Raptors. But what do you think the Magic are doing this right?
I mean, in general, I think on your side with, I think tanking. I think the top level talent is just too important, especially in a draft as loaded as this. But it's one of those tough things where, like, I hate that I'm sitting here saying winning is bad, or, you know, trying to win is a bad thing. That's why I'm so conflicted about it, I guess.
I mean, if you look at the percentages to get a top three pick, this could happen. Like, there's a legit chance that a team that's in the ninth spot in the lottery and they tank hard and they go to fourth. That means they went from ninth spot, you have a 6.1% chance for top three. If you tank to four, it's 37.8% to get top three. And that's possible. Like, the Magic could fall from, they could go the other way. If they keep winning, they could go from four in that 38% all the way down to 6%. It's that close. So yeah, I hate that. Like, to get an extra 30% and change, to get a good pick, top three pick. Like, yeah, there's Kawhi, there's Giannis, there's Devin Booker, there's Draymond Green late, Rudy Gobert late, sure, but you want to have a higher pick, man. Like,
yeah, I think you have to realize that your players are human beings and they have real emotions, and you never want to. You can have a situation like the 76ers where some players become disenfranchised and grow tired of losing. But overall, I'm in complete agreement. It matters too much getting, you know, the equity you have at top there.
And then one thing I noticed too was Eric Bledsoe was not happy about getting shut down. He had the sad face or the unamused face emoji, whatever it was.
Right.
Not him, but emojis. And then also, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard this officially, but I feel like Brook Lopez is saying, like, don't shut me down. Like, I've gone through this garbage season. I want to play. Don't shut me down, please. He's been pretty healthy. He had that. It's weird. Like, he was, like, one of the most durable players ever. And then all of a sudden, bam, foot injury. He's one of the most injury-prone players ever. And now he's kind of back.
Yeah. So you brought up Bledsoe. That actually transitions nicely into a question I wanted to ask you. If you look right now, the team's the top three picks would be the Celtics getting the Brooklyn Nets pick, the Lakers, and the Suns. All three of those teams are kind of settled at the point guard spot. You have Isaiah Thomas, D'Angelo Russell, and Bledsoe. And this draft, the top two players appear to be Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
I guess with each of those three teams, is it just draft the rookie point guard and figure it out later, or, you know, how do you handle that, those fit issues?
I mean, the Suns are interesting because reportedly their owner had said, they sent a message out to some season ticket holders saying, we're not going to compete until 2020. So that leads me to believe that Bledsoe, and if that's my plan, what's the use of having Eric Bledsoe on your roster? You know, like, he's a very good player, you would say he's a top 20 starting point guard, right?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yeah. You could even say 15, I probably wouldn't say 10. But, so if he's on your team and you're not going to be good and he's, you know, getting to his prime / past his prime, I don't think Bledsoe is going to have a very long career given how he plays him with the three meniscus tears. So what are you doing with him? Like, it makes sense to let him go. Obviously, the Brandon Knight thing is just lost cause. So if they could trade him for literally anything, do it. But they won't. If they did trade him, it would have to be like the Sauce Castillo, Jason Thompson, Hinky deal, which we hopefully will talk about soon. But yeah, I think they pick up. If I'm the Suns, I draft a point guard. I trade Bledsoe. Hopefully, get maybe a second. Or maybe even two firsts that are protected or something along those lines. But yeah, I think Bledsoe's got to go. Lakers are tougher, though, because we've seen man, D'Angelo Russell's just such a headache. We saw him go off for 40 against the Cavs, and then we see him have like one of the worst weeks of anyone after a big week. He's just such a mess. It's so hard to figure out what this guy is. Obviously, he has the, not like off court in the traditional sense, but the whole Nick Young thing and leadership concerns. So you don't know if he's your guy. You don't, I mean, you're benching him right now when you're tanking. Not exactly a vote of confidence. So, but yeah, and the Celtics are even tougher, man. Like, Isaiah is the man. He's going to get paid in 2 summers. They still have Avery Bradley, so it almost makes sense to let him go too, man. Like, take the best player and then figure it out. And that's kind of the hinky way, I guess, which kind of backfired for them to have too much of a surplus in one position. But yeah, I'm fully on board with take the best player pretty much regardless.
Okay. With Bledsoe, as you're saying that, I'm nodding my head in agreement with everything you say, but then I must ask, what teams exactly would trade for
him? That's the tough part. I mean, there's teams that are there. The Kings are known for this. The Bucks, like 3-4 years ago, were known for this. Like, they're okay coming in seventh and making the playoffs. Like, it's maybe like one of those teams. So like the Pistons, for instance, they wouldn't do anything to get Reggie Jackson off their team right now. You could even say the Hawks. I don't think Dennis Schroeder's live up to the billing. Obviously, that's a lot of money to invest into your point guard spot after they paid him. I mean, the Heat maybe too when Dragic deals up. There's a lot of teams, I think. Even Utah with George Hill going away. I think he may be someone to consider. Yeah, there's the Bulls. The Bulls would be another one of those teams that really want to make the playoffs and turn things around. I could see them giving up a pick to get, or even 2 picks to get Bledsoe on there. I think there would be a good market for him.
Yeah, the Celtics situation is just has to be one of the most interesting situations in the league. And I wonder if the pressure to keep the group together, the current group together, will increase the better they do in the playoffs. Like, if they take the Cavs to 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's probably pretty hard to convince your fan base that you want to get rid of Isaiah Thomas then,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's I mean, and plus Avery Bradley can get I think he's due for an extension next year or two, so that'd be a factor as well. And then he'd be a free agent the year after that if they didn't go through with that. So, yeah, they are in a really tough spot, man. They have Dancing Bear, Gersan Yabusele. He's supposed to be really good overseas. Zizak, another guy, is good overseas. Like, this team's just so deep. When you have talent off your roster that's going to be coming in there, and then this draft pick, and then again with the draft pick, like, it was almost hard to believe they didn't get the Jimmy Butler deal done, right? Like, just the amount of depth of assets that this team has. Like, it just, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that. Like, why didn't that deal go down? Like, do you feel like it was more, the Bulls, after they made that trade for Cameron Payne, you would have thought they'd be even more likely to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, obviously, you wonder where exactly the negotiation stalled and who was asking for what. I had Aaron Jones on a week ago and we talked about the Celtics playoff chances. I'm interested in your opinion because I'm conflicted. On one hand, I love Brad Stevens. I think his ability to exploit mismatches and just strategize will, you know, really shine through even brighter in the playoffs. On the other hand, I'm scared of teams attacking Isaiah Thomas mercilessly and how they're going to hide him on the defensive end of the court. I just really don't know what to think of them.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to hide him, like you said, especially against the East teams. Who are really, like, against the Wizards, it's going to be, you know, like, where do you put him on, like, Otto Porter? It's going to be really hard to put him on Wall or Bradley Beal or either of those guys. Obviously, Kyrie. I think the Celtics would probably be a better matchup for the Cavs. Like, I'm sorry, like, the Celtics would have a better chance to beat the Cavs than pretty much anyone else because you could just hide him on, like, JR or Shumpert or whoever. So you can get away with it there. So I think if we had to pick, I think you have to take the Cavs as bad as they've been playing right now and how their defense is dead last in the NBA. But yeah, I mean, the Celtics probably have the best chance to hold that top seed though. Their schedule's so easy to close, while the Cavs are not very easy. So yeah, I mean, I don't think home court's that big of a deal. I mean, we've seen LeBron win a lot of road games. Obviously, last year against the Warriors comes to mind, but. I still think that it's the Cavs, but I think it's legit, man. Like, I think if we saw them in like, whatever Vegas odds are, I think that betting on Boston to get out of the East, it'll probably be what, like 3-1? Something like that?
I saw it posted like 2 days ago, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, if it's like a 3-1 bet, I think that's a good bet to make, man. Or even 2-1's, I think, a decent bet. Like they're playing really good basketball, and just the depth, man. We saw that yesterday we're recording this on Tuesday, so we're talking about the Spurs Cavs game. Their depth is so bad right now, the Cavs, that is. While the Boston Celtics, they have really good depth. We've seen Jaylen Brown grow a lot. We've seen Al Horford finally get out of his little slump. Marcus Smart can't shoot worth a lick, but he can defend. They have a lot of different pieces to go out there with Amir Johnson. Olynyk can kind of get hot. They have a lot of just different ways to skin a cat, or skin a calf, in this case. Thank you. So I think it's a legit, man. It's a legit chance. Like, if I'm Vegas, I'd probably make it, like, 2-1 that they make it.
Yeah, I'm... The past few weeks, I've been convincing myself the Cavs are more vulnerable, but I'm like, I just wouldn't be shocked if the playoffs came and LeBron just turned it on like crazy. And
that's the thing. Like, it's LeBron James versus whatever other argument you can make. It'll be LeBron James. Like, you can come up with like this long 3,000-word argument about the Celtics, and then like, oh, LeBron James. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Here, I found where I saw the odds posted yesterday. Yes. This is from VegasInsider.com. They had the Cavs at 5-16, whatever that, so wow. Little 1-3, I guess that is about. They had the Celtics at 4-1.
Wow, that's a good bet. I'd take that bet, actually.
Yeah, it seems reasonable. Let me, I wanted to ask you about, looking at a lot of the tanking teams, it's pretty obvious, you know, their positions in need and what they should be doing. I wanted to highlight three teams specifically that are in kind of no man's land and that they were clearly trying to contend this year. It's looking like they're going to miss the playoffs. One of them might sneak in, but most likely they're going to miss. And I'm just interested in your opinion on what they should do. Those teams are the Bulls, the Pistons, and the Hornets. Thoughts on those situations in general?
Man, I don't think I've seen a team fall apart faster than what I've seen out of the Pistons, like, in a long time, man. This team, they were getting hot. I feel like they were in, like, the sixth seed for a little bit. Like, Tobias was playing really well. Reggie Jackson has been down all season, but he was being serviceable. Marcus Morris was actually playing well. Drummond wasn't a total detriment on offense like he is right now. I mean, just every player on that team is underperforming. Like, KCP's down. It's just, I just never seen that much depth just all go to crap. And you could tell, this is Van Gundy's, the old saying, like, he gets to buy the groceries, right? The old Parcells saying, he gets to do that, and it's not working out. But then again, he doesn't, though. I mean, the only impact draft pick that he should have had, who hasn't worked out at all, is Stanley Johnson. He's been bad. And then obviously the rookies they have this year, Ellinson hasn't really done anything yet. And then the first year he was there, he didn't have a first round pick. His first pick, I believe, is Spencer Dinwiddie, who had an ACL tear, and he's on the Nets now. So like, he never really got a chance to put an imprint on his team. And then they're like, oh yeah, we just have to sign Andre Drummond, who is supposed to be like a Dwight Howard type of an impact. Because when he was at his best, Van Gundy, he had Jameer playing really well with Dwight. He had J.J. Redick. He had a lot of good shooters, and it just doesn't – they don't have it. Like, KCP's too inconsistent. Marcus Morris is fine, but he's not a great shooter. And Reggie Jackson, not a great shooter either. So it's just – it's tough. Like, if I'm him – and the Reggie Jackson quote-unquote rest is hilarious. Like, they basically feel like they have a better shot with Bano than they do with Reggie Jackson. But, yeah, if I'm them, man, like, I think they're going to be super busy. Like, I think if they are committed with Van Gundy, as bad as he's been, I think they're going to try to trade as many guys as they can without giving up assets. But obviously, Reggie Jackson's contract for the $80 million is not going to be a good one. You could even say that about Sanford. What do you feel about Drummond? I'm done with Drummond, man. Like, I don't get it. Like, he just has no, like, it's crazy because we were like, oh, Gobert is a better defender and they're similar on the offense. Not anymore, they're not. Like, Gobert's a way better offensive player than Drummond is. It's not even close. Gobert's basically second for pick and roll efficiency, sixth in pick and roll scoring this year after his 59th or 54th last year. Like, the Gobert Drummond thing is like dead. I'm off Drummond.
Yeah, without a doubt. Conceptually, I like both Drummond and the entire roster construction of the Pistons. It's like, I like the type of players they've gotten in each position. But like you said, every single player on the roster almost is underperforming.
Oh my god, instead of 1B is Tobias. I think Tobias has been fine.
Right. Who is, speaking of great moves, getting him for the Magic for practically free was steal there.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought they were like, oh yeah, Reggie Jackson would be. I'm not a Reggie Jackson guy. And I was like, oh yeah, Drummond will grow a little bit. KCP, big year for him. He was supposed to be really good. He's fizzled out ever since really the break. And he goes in some slumps, man. Stanley Johnson was in the freaking D League earlier this year.
Like, man, I was so high on both Stanley Johnson and Justice Winslow coming in. They both can obviously turn around and have productive NBA careers. But, man, I thought they were both going to be super legit.
Yeah. Winslow was coming on right before he got hurt. Like, he's starting to click as an offensive player, a little bit more assists and stuff. But, yeah, I was also – like Stanley Johnson's first summer league, even last summer league too, it's like, he looks freaking awesome. And if you're like me, you're like, oh, Van Gundy will get the most out of him for being a scorer and shooter and passer and all that stuff. And he's got length on defense. But, yeah, he's just not there, man. We knew he was going to be raw. Like, there's guys we just know it's going to take a couple years. And they've even said that they still have faith in him long term. But, yeah, this team's not good. So, you want to talk about somebody on another team?
Yeah, sure.
I'm talking about the Pistons for a while.
I wanted to add, when you were talking about Van Gundy's old Magic team, a really underrated part of that team that you didn't mention was Rashard Lewis.
Yeah.
All the advanced metrics absolutely love him in those years. I think they call him like a top 15 player. I don't know about that, but
yeah.
He fit that role quite well.
Yeah, he was like one of the like he would be such a great four right now. And like he had a max deal and he got hurt all the time. Just the end of that contract looked terrible. And like they basically paid for that one season where he had like almost like three threes a game, whatever it was. He was killing. I remember I had him in season long that year, and he was like the sixth or seventh best player in fantasy. But yeah, he doesn't have his fingerprints on this team right now, man. Like it's gonna take so long for him to turn this team into what he probably wants. And yeah, they don't really have it. You want to talk about Charlotte or somebody else now?
Yeah, I know. I brought up the Bulls, but. God, let's just forget about them. They're too frustrating to even talk about. Let's move on to Charlotte. I liked what Charlotte did this offseason. I like their coaching staff. I like a lot of things they do. I like their starting five. Why hasn't it worked for Charlotte this year?
I think what was crazy is when they lost Cody Zeller, they just lost games left and right. And I think if they would have kept Zeller in there, I'll look up his win-loss, but they've been, I think, a winning team with Zeller in there. And also, too, another guy who's been great the past two seasons after pretty much a whole decade of just being below average is Marvin Williams. 2 years in a row, he's been a plus defensive player, plus on efficiency, shooting the ball well, rebounding a lot better. I think he's had career highs and rebounds in each of his last two seasons. Just been really good as a power forward, and Kemba's having an awesome year, all-star. Like, you would think that all these pieces that get put together would be able to get it locked down to 7 seed, but that one stretch in February just killed them. So I'm, like I said, this is like one of those teams that's, if they didn't have a point guard, they would get Bledsoe and they'd be like a 7 seed. So it's like the same thing. They have Kemba Walker, they're going to be like a 6-7 seed, so... I think I don't buy them being as bad as the record says right now. So I think if they had been healthy, and I mean, we saw. And are you a Batum guy, by the way? I used to be.
I like Batum quite a bit. No, I mean, mostly just because there aren't that many quality wings in the league. You know, like if you say you're not a Batum guy, and then you start to list the wings you would take before him, you quickly realize that's a pretty short list.
Yeah, I mean, I am, but one thing I just don't like is his shot selection. He just takes so many jumpers, man, and he's got the size and he's got a good first step. He just doesn't use it. Like, if I wish he would take more shots at the rim and stuff like that.
Nicholas Batum also did what I believe is one of the most unforgivable things in the history of basketball, but it helped me win a DFS contest, so I'm super happy about it. His team was up 4, and the other team had the ball with like 3 seconds to go. The other team shot a 3-pointer at the buzzer, and Batum blocked it and got the rebound. So it got like 3.2 fantasy points for me. But his team was up 4 with 2 seconds to go, and he tried to block a 3-pointer. If I was his coach, I would be beside myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – I don't – who was that against? I can't remember. If I remember.
That's like 2 months ago. Yeah. I don't remember. It was quite a while ago. Yeah.
And then, by the way, I looked it up. So with Cody Zeller in the lineup, they have a 56.6 win percentage. So that would put them at the 5 seed comfortably.
Wow. So just a real lack of depth, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Like they, and I think they did okay. And like Kaminsky's actually been a good 5-man. And that was the thing. We were like, oh, could Kaminsky be a 5-man? And I would say like their, I guess, aha moment of when they realized they could do this was when they got torched by the Warriors. They lost by like 35-40 something. But they were like, oh, we could play. They played Kaminsky at garbage time at the 5. And Clifford liked what he saw. And he's been good. But yeah, they have no depth by doing that. They have no depth behind Marvin. And yeah, like just when they had him at the 5, like they were playing all these guys out of position. They were playing MPG at the 4. They were going a lot with Bellinelli, a lot with Lamb. I'm not a Lamb guy either. And then Bellinelli also was an interesting pick to trade him away, or to trade for him to the pick that turned out to be Malachi Richardson. Like that was a little weird.
But, right.
Yeah, I didn't like. Considering where they were on a roster, like you could have either given Jeremy Lamb more minutes or figured out something. Just trading a pick like that just didn't make any sense for Marco Bellinelli, you know, a guy who's not really going to be an impact guy. Although to be fair, he's been okay. So, but yeah, if I'm them, what can you do? And by the way, I hated that Miles Plumlee trade. Like that was one of the worst trades of the season.
What was that again? Remind me of it.
They basically picked up Miles Plumlee's garbage contract. What was 4 for 48 or 4? It's like 4-year, $50 million deal with 3 more years on that for just salary dump. Like it was Spencer Hawes, Hibbert. I'm forgetting somebody else too. That's just like garbage.
Right.
Yeah. Now they're stuck with that contract because apparently Rich Cho liked Plumlee and they were close to signing him before the Bucks were able to lock him up. And obviously that contract's terrible.
So yeah.
I hated that deal. Like, and they're pretty cap tight, man. So it's not like a team like the Sixers or these teams that are going to have trouble hitting the salary floor. Like they could have used that money this offseason, but they think that Plumlee can be a backup. And like we said, that was a concern. They didn't have the depth. He did get hurt right when they traded for him. So their intentions were good, but they just did it for the wrong player.
Yeah, it's super frustrating when you're just as a fan of the game, when you like a few pieces a team has in play and then you just aren't a fan of how they're building around them. Yeah.
But I mean, they've got, and MKG's been better. I mean, his offense is still not there, but his defense is still hasn't flattened out. He's been good too. It's just, like we said, the depth just isn't there. And yeah, just if they would have been healthy, they would have been fine. And I think that, just it's all about Cody Zeller for MVP apparently, and Paul Millsap too. Man, Hawks still haven't won a game without Millsap, and the Hawks are falling hard. Like the Hawks could legit not make the playoffs, which is crazy.
Wait, really?
Yeah, man, it's possible. They're in the 5 seed. They're 10.5 out in Miami, or Chicago's 13 out. The Hawks have lost 7 straight.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not. I would still say it's probably like only a 30% chance, something like that, but. Like, they got to win, and then also Millsap's out for at least 3 more.
Yeah. Wow, so when I was doing my last podcast with Aaron, we were talking about Hawks-Raptors first round as if it was, like, set in stone.
Yeah, no, they lost 7 straight. The Raptors have won 6 straight. Right. It's just, they're going total opposite directions right now. It's just, I've never, like, Millsap is apparently everything. But then again, like, just dudes missing shots, and their defense is really, they're getting torched on, actually, their first and second chance points in the last like 7 or 8 games without Millsap, which is kind of weird to lose to lose that many games and do well in second chance points. But yeah, they're in trouble, man. Like they have to beat Phoenix tonight. They have to, or else it's gonna look bad, man. And I don't know if they're gonna, man. They're terrible. Like Dwight's not that good. Schroeder, I'm not a Schroeder guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. You know, Millsap's one of the most underrated players in the league, I think, that you're seeing that with them struggle with him out. Let's close with this topic. There's a lot of, you know, tanking teams. We're seeing, you know, a lot of D-League / young guys get called up and get playing time that we you know, might not usually see in the rotation. Do you have, you know, maybe two or three guys that are kind of on your radar as young players to watch, or maybe for all the DFS players out there, guys that might, you know, be some good sleeper picks in the coming weeks?
I mean, Sean, we talked about Sean Long for a second. He's been pretty good, man. And then we'll see who else gets shut down. So let me think here.
Talk about Sean Long real quick. I've basically seen like maybe less than 60 minutes of him playing. From what I saw, he's a pretty athletic center. Does he have a little bit of range on his jump shot as well?
Not really. I mean, they're trying to develop him into that. He does take some, you know, 17, 18 footers. I think he has a couple 3-point attempts too. But yeah, he's very much kind of a 15 feet in kind of a guy. He's attempted. Four attempts from three on the season. Made one of them. But yeah, he's just killing it inside. He has a little bit more size to him. He's more of a four. Like him and Rashad Holmes were basically fours. But with the way the roster's put together and with how they run their defense and offense, they like that a little bit of speed and quick stuff. So yeah, he's a decent shot blocker. He's going to get minutes, man. And they like him defensively. Especially with, I feel like Rashad Holmes... He had a hamstring injury like about a month ago that kept him kind of out a little bit and limited. He's had a heat wrap on that hamstring late in game, so keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I think Sean Long's sneaky, man. I think he's going to be a guy that we could use in certain matchups, especially when it's garbage time. Like the Sixers have looked at their schedule. They have a tough game coming up. I forget who they're playing. Not the Nets. Let's see. Who's their next tough opponent? Oh, the Cavs. That's what it was. Okay. They have the Cavs on Friday. So I think like that's a sneaky Sean Long day. And hopefully the Cavs get, and especially with how bad the Cavs defense is, right? So yeah, I definitely like him there. I don't know. Do we think that the Magic are gonna shut down? I feel like they're not gonna. Because if they do, a guy who was really good at Summer League was Steven Zimmerman. Had a really good block rate. A lot of double-doubles. He has, I feel like, 7 or 8 games with, like, 5-plus blocks in the D-League. He's sneaky good if he gets minutes. Because we've seen Biombo is just terrible. So I think if they do shut Vooch down, we could get some Steven Zimmerman action, see where he's at. Who else? Jason Randall's a guy, I think if Derrick Rose gets shut down, he could score a little bit. Let's see. Suns, we kind of maxed out on Suns here. Although, actually, Dragan Bender's getting close. So
okay. Yeah, that's an interesting guy.
Yeah, he was a guy who looked like he was coming on. Like it was between, we were trying to figure out like who's better, Chris or Bender, because Chris took a long time to get going. Now Chris is kind of going strong. He had that big 24-point game. He's been kind of bad since in the last three, but I still have high hopes for Chris. Speaking of Chris, a guy who's getting minutes right now for the Wolves, not Dealey, but Chris Dunn. He's playing a lot of minutes at the two, so. I expect him to play big minutes down the stretch. We'll see what happens with Rubio. Stop me whenever. King, we've seen Georges Papagiannis not play too much. He didn't play at all yesterday. But he's been good. A guy that was garbage. I called him the worst rookie at Summer League last year. But he's been pretty good. He's got some moves. He's a little bit more. He looked like he weighed like 400 pounds. He was just so slow. Everything was just very methodical and just didn't have any flow to his game. But now he's got some quick hips and stuff. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it for the tank teams that we've covered.
The worst rookie in Summer League.
He was so bad, man. I think he only made 35% from the field. Willie Cauley-Stein was 26% from the field, by the way. Yeah, he was horrible. I called him the biggest disappointment in Summer League. But yeah, Papagiannis was, dude. I was like, this guy is bad, man. Like, wasted pick. You traded away Marquise Chris for him, Bojan Bogdanovic, who may not even come over. He was apparently, he signed with his club again, Fenerbahce, so he may not come over. And then they got Scalabissier in that deal, so that's a pretty complex trade. But anyways, yeah, he was bad, man. You don't know about my Summer League game. I'm Mr. Summer League.
Do you go to the Vegas one?
Yeah. I go to Vegas. I actually didn't go last year, but I went 4 years, and I get my media creds and stuff, and I do some interviews and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Oh, sick. I'm in town for the World Series of Poker, so I usually stop in for a day.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice. Yeah, it's fun, man. It's such an event, and they actually smartened up. Quick story. So the year that Wiggins and Parker, have you been there, you said?
Yeah, I was there for that year as well.
Yeah, so they have the Cox Pavilion and Thomas and Mack. Thomas and Mack's the big arena where UNLV plays their games. And then the Cox is like a lot smaller, probably call it one-third the size, if that. So the people who scheduled it, they put Wiggins Parker in the small gym. Like, what are you doing? And so it sold out. Like, they couldn't put people in there. So, like, right. Then there was a line out the door. Meanwhile, the big arena had whatever the game was, which is not even close to a headliner. Like, you're like, dude, come on. And then next year they figured out they were putting the Lakers in the big gym and all that. But it was just like, dude, how do you even not realize that? Like, just put some thought into the schedule. But it's a huge deal, man. I mean, like, there's games when people were like, what was it? Porzingis versus Russell that year. It was like packed, man. There were people cheering. It was amazing.
I would highly advise it for anyone who's in Vegas during the time. I think it's like $25 and you pass for the entire day. And most days there are 8 games. I think 4 games in each gym, and you can just go back and forth. And it's just a cool atmosphere. You know, some of the games are kind of boring with no one, you know, you'd really care about. But a lot of the games, you get, you know, the top 5 draft picks
playing. Yeah, go earlier. If, like, it's a 10-day event, go early. Don't worry about the championship, all that. They usually don't play their studs too early. But usually the first couple of days, everyone's out there. Everyone's playing. And I'll admit, for as much as I love basketball, and I go there, I usually go there for like 8 days, I'm so burnt out by the end, dude. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. And I actually left early for one day. The last year I went, I was just like, dude, because you know how Vegas is, man. Just like wears you down. Like, you want to go out afterwards and you want to do all this stuff. I'm just like, dude, I can't. I'm too old for this, man. so 21-year-old me would have been ready to go, but I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. But yeah, definitely go. I mean, it's Vegas. Like, you'll find stuff to do. Go there, have a good time, and just spend a day watching basketball. And, you know, go there for 3-4 days, get a summer league day in there. Can't advise it enough.
Yep, absolutely. Mike, let's wrap this up. Thanks so much for being on, man. Really appreciate it. Anytime, man.
This is fun. I love this non-fantasy stuff, dude. I can talk about it for like another 10 hours.
Is there anything, where can the people find you? Or any website or Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm on Mike S. Gallagher for my Twitter. I'm on there pretty much around the clock, especially from Wednesday through Saturday. And then, rotoworld.com. I do a lot of the player blurbs for basketball, and then I write a couple columns as well. And I have my podcast, the Rotoworld Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We do some DFS. We do season-long pod, which we just did on Monday. So, yeah, a lot of content, hashtag content.
Awesome. Everyone, check him out. He is excellent at his job. Could not recommend it enough. Thanks so much, Mike. I'll see you around, man.
No problem.